We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesdays at 7. We are located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Also, on October 9th, starting at 9:45 a.m., come on home to Union Temple for homecoming. The Ellisons will be there to sing, and Brother Raymond Conklin will be bringing the message. We look forward to seeing you there. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I put off my coat, I shall put it on. I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels or my emotions were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. Now what they did, and a custom in that day was, if they came and you didn't receive them, they would have some kind of fragrance, and they would leave that there like he did, this myrrh here, and they would know, whoever would know, smell his fragrance that he had been there, and so that was a custom during that day. And so he says, her fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone, and my soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the wall took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. She's lovesick. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? What's so wonderful about him? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us? Here she described, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lily, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as a bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. As I said before I read the scripture, I don't remember whether I've ever preached a message from the Song of Solomon or not. I may have, but I don't know. But anyway, and if I would take a text for this, my text would be a heart for him. A heart for him. Now, the book of the Song of Solomon holds a very special place in the Word of God. While much of the Bible deals with history and much of the Bible deals with doctrine, the Song of Solomon is a collection of love songs. In other words, these songs deal with the love life of King Solomon and one of his many wives. And there's many people, and I don't know why that people would say this, I guess because of the carnal minds that people has. And if you read this book with a carnal mind, you could see why that some people would make the statement that they didn't feel like this book has a place in the Word of God. But you have to read this book with a spiritual mind and understand what is being said here. But this book is filled with explicit description of romantic love. And you that have read it, you understand that this romantic love between a husband and his wife. And this book is, however, is very special. Now, the Jewish people, or the Jewish tradition is that this book was picturing God's love for Israel. And we as the Christians, or as the church today, we see this as an illustration of Christ's love for the church and Jesus' love for each one of us as individual believers. But here in this pages, we can see a clear picture of the love relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and those of us who are been saved by the grace of God. And so in this passage that is before us here this morning, we're given a glimpse inside the heart of the bride. And we're given the opportunity to see how much she loves her husband. And now in these verses here, we find that the bride, that she has a heart for him. And so I'd like for us to look into these verses just for a few moments here this morning and get a glimpse of how wonderfully our heavenly bridegroom, the Lord Jesus, is. I want you to understand what a wonderful Savior that we have today. I want you to understand how much He loves you, how much He wants to have that intimate relationship with you, how much He wants to be near you, how that He wants to have fellowship and communion with you, how that He so desires that. And that's what I want you to see here this morning. And let us see afresh and anew how much that Jesus really loves us and how much that we love Him and how a heart for Him that beats today. And so that's what I want. The first thing I want you to see here in verse 2 through verse 5, I want you to see that the bride is dozing. She's asleep. Now, it is not hard. We all understand that the church of the living God that's been saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood, that we are the bride of Christ. We all understand that. And that Jesus is the bridegroom. So when we think about the church dozing, or the church asleep, or the bride asleep, I want you to think in the same term as the church is asleep. Now, all through the first part of this book, the bridegroom has been referring to this woman as his bride. And now here, he does not use that term. He does not refer to her as the bride. It may be that he's been married for a little while, and whenever that he described this. So you all know that the honeymoon don't last forever. That the honeymoon wears off after a while, and those things you used to call your wife, all those little pet words, maybe you don't use them as much as you when you're married a little bit longer. But anyway, for some reason here, he don't describe her as the bride. And maybe the new has worn off of their relationship. After all, this chapter opens and we find the bride asleep. And the bridegroom outside of her chamber trying to gain access. And she is asleep. And we all remember how exciting it was in those first days. Whether you're talking about your marriage or whether you're talking about when you got saved. You all remember what the Word of God says. We talked about in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. John the Beloved, referring to the church, says you have left your first love. And so their love for the Lord had cooled off after they'd been saved for some time. And I wonder how many of us would have to say that this same condition may dwell in our hearts this morning. Not only has our love maybe cooled off for our spouse, or maybe our love has cooled off for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we feel so secure and satisfied in what that we have that we have forgotten the one who has given us all that we have. And so this morning we sleep while he tries to draw near to spend some precious time with his beloved. I want you to see here, as this husband, this bridegroom, was standing outside trying to get entrance in to be and spend some time with his wife, that she's asleep. And I want you to think about how that the Lord wants to be near you. How that Jesus wants to spend some time with you. How that he wants to have fellowship and communion. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. And how that he wants to be near you and close to you and fellowship with you and walk with you. And you, somehow or another, you are unresponsive to that desire that he wants to be with you. And the call of love. Now notice how tender this call is. Verse 2. He uses terms of endearment, designed to remind her of how precious she is to him. He tells her that he's outside and he wants to come into her. He is so tender here in his plea as he wants to be with her so desperately. Can you imagine Jesus wanting to be with you desperately this morning? Notice what he calls her. He calls her my sister. Speaking of an intimacy of their relationship. The term sister was a term of affection that a husband might use for his wife. And then he calls her my love. Speaking of the special place she holds in his heart. Oh, how much Jesus loves us this morning. And then he calls her my dove. Speaks of the special peace that permeates their relationship. They are a joyous, glorious relationship that has made them one. And so here, and he says, my undefiled. It speaks of the purity of their great love. There's nothing vulgar, or there's nothing evil transpiring here. No, their love is pure, and she is pure. And there is a picture here of the Lord Jesus Christ seeking. Now, understand this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ is seeking a blessed communion with you and I as his redeemed people this morning. He is wanting to have communion with you. He is wanting to have that special relationship with you. Oh, how he loves you this morning. And simply put, here he wants to fellowship. And her response is telling of her priorities. Now you think about this. Here he is wanting to her beloved, is wanting to come into her. And look at her response here. Her response is telling of her priority. She says, I've already washed my feet and I'm in bed. Simply put, she said, I don't want to get up. I don't want to fool with you. That'd make you feel pretty good, wouldn't it? If your spouse would tell you that. Boy, I hope Pam could come up with something better than I've washed my feet. But anyway, that's what she's saying. I'd rather just lay here and rest than I don't want to fool with you right now. And that is what she's saying. How many of us have experienced something similar to that in our marriage? Something that you would have done without hesitation when you first got married. So now it seems like when your spouse asks you to do that, it's drudgery. You don't want to fool with it. I remember old Brother Mays Jackson used to say, well, when I was dating my wife, I would used to walk her over and open the car door for her and let her get in and close the door and go around and get in the car and all that kind of thing. Said I'd done that when we first got married. And he says, now when I go and get in the car, I've been married some, I'll go 2 or 3 miles down the road. And she's still hanging on the door, hadn't even got in. And I think that's a good illustration of how sometimes our relationships does cool off. our relationships does dwindle. And it's bad when it happens between husbands and wives. But it's so much worse when it happens when you feel that way toward the Lord Jesus. When Jesus is wanting to come and have some quality time with you. When Jesus wants to come to you and have communion. And He's wanting you and He's wanting to just spend some time with you. And you're saying, oh no, I don't have time. I'm already in bed. I'm resting. I'm tired. All these kind of things. Right? I wonder how He feels. And so, if we're honest, we would have to confess here this morning, I think every one of us would have to say that we've become a little chilly in that department from time to time. How about your walk with Jesus this morning? I want you to look at your walk with Jesus here in this same context. Remember the early days of your salvation? Do you remember that? Do you remember when you first got saved and how excited you was and how thrilled you was and how you couldn't wait to tell everybody that you met about what had happened to you? Remember when church was exciting to you? You couldn't wait to get there. You couldn't wait for Wednesday nights. You couldn't wait for Sunday morning. How exciting it was. How exciting it was to come to church. And how exciting it was to just to pick up your Bible and to read it. Remember when prayer was such an adventure that you couldn't wait to get along with the Lord and pray. Remember when you couldn't wait for the opportunity to share or to witness to someone about Jesus. Remember when you couldn't wait to get to church. Remember when the Christian life was exciting. Has it cooled off? How many of us would have to admit that like the bride in our text here, we've taken off our marching shoes, we've traded in the armor of the Spirit of God for the bedclothes of ease and leisure, and we've allowed ourselves to get comfortable that just being with Jesus isn't exciting as it used to be. Sad indictment on the church. That just being with Jesus isn't as exciting as it used to be. I'm saying let the Holy Spirit search your heart this morning. I'm saying let the Holy Spirit, how exciting is it to you this morning to spend time with Jesus? Or do you have all kinds of excuses of why that you can't spend time with Him right now when He's knocking at your heart's door? He's beating on the heart's door. He stands and knocks at the door, the Word of God says. And He said, if you'll open the door, I will come into you and I will sup with you and you with me. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to have that relationship with you. And we get that way sometimes. We cool off. We get to the place where that church isn't exciting. We get to the place where that prayer and Bible study just don't thrill us anymore. We'd rather read something else. It's a sad place to be. But I think a lot of God's children are there this very moment. And the question is, are you? Are you there? What is your love life with the Lord Jesus like? What is your love between you and Him? When the tender words fail to arouse her interest toward Him? Gosh, can you imagine Him standing out there saying, my love, my dove, my sweetheart, I love you. Would you open up the door and let me come in? And she just stays in bed. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine those? You'd think, if Pam done that, after I had my heart attack and they got me back from church, from the hospital, and I recovered, I'd really appreciate her saying that. But how special that would be. And then those words failed to arouse her. They didn't motivate her when she could see that He had that much love for her, but that wasn't enough to motivate her to get up and allow Him to come into her. And so, what are you saying? And whenever that Those words failed to arouse her interest toward him. The bridegroom puts his hand in beside the lock of the door, and he tries to open the door himself. He fails to do this. But seeing him want to be with her so badly stirs her heart. And she feels her heart begins to beat for him. Now she wants to be with him, but he's gone. He came, and she didn't want anything to do with him right then. And now, whenever she wants something to do with him, he's gone. When it ever dawns in the soul of a believer just what Jesus Christ has done for you and how much he loves you, how much he desires to be near you. Have you ever let that sink in your mind? How much Jesus desires to be near you? You say, well, I'm nobody. They don't. Yes, you are somebody. You're one that is so special that Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins. You're a child of the living God. Has it ever dawned on you how much he desires to be near you? How sweetly he calls us to himself when he says, child, come to me. Won't you just come and let me wrap my arms around you and let me fellowship with you and let me speak sweet peace to your troubled soul? Listen, it'll awaken a desire in our hearts to be near him. I think many of us need to hear the heed of the Savior's call today. How many of us would be willing to come before him this morning and open the doors of our hearts to him afresh and anew today? How many would be Christian enough? How many would be man and woman enough to come and say, Lord, I know there's been many times that you have knocked at my heart's door and you wanted just to come and have a little fellowship with me. And I've been too busy. I've been too involved in the things of the world. I've been too engaged in everything else that's going on that I've not even took time to open the door and let you come in and spend some time with me. And I know how you long to do that. How you long to be near me. And so the Bible, the bride dozing. And then in verse 6 through 8, the bride desiring. When she finally rises from her bed and she goes to the door, she finds that her beloved is already gone. Then she remembers how she felt when she heard his voice. It was so intense that it caused her soul to faint within her. Now he's gone. Still, she has been awaken here to the need to be with him. A renewed desire has been rekindled within her heart for her husband. Now, just as he desired to be with her, she has filled a desire to be with him. Now, look in verse 6. As she begins her search, notice what she says. She is seeking. I sought him. I called him. She makes no reference to his wealth, though he was the richest man in the land. She makes no reference to his position, though there is none in the land that is more exalted than her husband is. She makes no reference to his power, though there is none more powerful than her husband in all the land. No, she is just utterly consumed by him. She desires him and nothing more. She's not desiring him because of his power, because of his wealth, or because of his position. She is just desiring him because of who he is. She wants to be with him. So it is with the child of God who rediscovers how glorious that Jesus is. They aren't thrilled by his power, by his possessions, or by his position. The child of God is just thrilled to be in his presence. There's so many people want Jesus because they say, I have this disease,
And because I have this disease that the doctor says there's no cure for, I know that Jesus has the power to heal me, so I'm going to desire Jesus for His power. I don't have much, and the Lord promised that He would provide for my needs, so I'm going to get Him because He has the power to give me my needs, to meet my needs. That's how you see so many Christian people. They desire Him for what He can do for them. They desire Him because of His position, His power, and His possession. They never have ever desired Him and say, I just want to be with Him. I just want to be in His presence. I just want to feel Him wrap His loves around, His arms around me in the spiritual sense. And whisper in my ear, child, I love you. And I just want to be able to look up to heaven and say, Jesus, I love you. I don't want anything from you today. You give me so much anyway. She didn't mention anything about His power, His possession. Just thrill. When you and I reach the place where we're more interested in being with the Lord and getting something from the Lord, then we begin to grow in the Lord. Did you hear what I said? When you and I get to the place where we're more interested in being with the Lord than getting something from the Lord, we begin to grow in the Lord. When we come to the place where He feels our thoughts, how often do you think about Him every day? How often do you think about Jesus in a normal day of life? We get to the place where He feels our thoughts. Then we've come to the place where He holds first place. What are you seeking from the Lord this morning? Do you need some stuff? Do you need something? Do you need your meal barrel filled? Don't have enough money to buy the groceries? Do you need some help? Do you need someone to go with you into the fiery furnace? Maybe you're facing a great trial. Maybe you're facing a great confrontation. But you need somebody to go with you and be with you while you're in the midst of that. Do you need a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Do you need something big from God this morning? Well, let me tell you how that you can have that if that's what you need. It's very, very simple. I'm persuaded that most Christians go about it the wrong way. How do you have that? It's so simple. Just get to the place where nothing is more important to you than Jesus. And all that other stuff will take care of itself.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.